Chapter 6 Mr. Poe frowned, sat down at the table, and took out his handkerchief.
"Forgery?" he repeated.
The Baudelaire orphans had shown him the shattered window in the library. They had shown him the note that had been thumbtacked to the door, and they had shown him the business card with a grammatical mistake on it.
"Forgery is a very serious charge," he said sternly, and blew his nose.
"Not as serious as murder," Klaus pointed out. "And that's what Captain Sham did. He murdered Aunt Josephine and forged a note."
"But why would this Captain Sham person," Mr. Poe asked, "go to all this trouble just to place you under his care?"
"We've already told you," Violet said, trying to hide her impatience. "Captain Sham is really Count Olaf in disguise."
"These are very serious accusations," Mr. Poe said firmly. "I understand that the three of you have had some terrible experiences, and I hope you're not letting your imagination get the best of you. Remember when you lived with Uncle Monty? You were convinced that his assistant, Stefano, was really Count Olaf in disguise."
"But Stefano was Count Olaf in disguise," Klaus exclaimed.
"That's not the point," Mr. Poe said. "The point is that you can't jump to conclusions. If you really think this note is a forgery, then we have to stop talking about disguises and do an investigation. Somewhere in this house, I'm sure we can find something that your Aunt Josephine has written. We can compare the handwriting and see if this note matches up."
The Baudelaire orphans looked at one another. "Of course," Klaus said, "if the note we found on the library door doesn't match Aunt Josephine's handwriting, then it was obviously written by somebody else. We didn't think of that." Mr. Poe smiled.
"You see? You are very intelligent children, but even the most intelligent people in the world often need the help of a banker. Now, where can we find a sample of Aunt Josephine's handwriting?"
"In the kitchen," Violet said promptly. "She left her shopping list in the kitchen when we got home from the market."
"Junie!"
Sonny shrieked, which probably meant, "Let's go to the kitchen and get it." And that's exactly what they did. Aunt Josephine's kitchen was very small and had a large white sheet covering the stove and the oven. For safety, Aunt Josephine had explained during her tour. There was a countertop where she prepared the food, a refrigerator where she stored the food, and a sink where she washed away the food nobody had eaten. To one side of the countertop was a small piece of paper on which Aunt Josephine had made her list, and Violet crossed the kitchen to retrieve it. Mr. Poe turned on the lights, and Violet held the shopping list up to the note to see if they matched. There are men and women who are experts in the field of handwriting analysis. They are called graphologists, and they attend graphological schools in order to get their degree in graphology. You might think that this situation would call for a graphologist, but there are times when an expert's opinion is unnecessary. For instance, if a friend of yours brought you her pet dog and said she was concerned because it wasn't laying eggs, you would not have to be a veterinarian to tell her that dogs do not lay eggs and so there was nothing to worry about. Yes, there are some questions that are so simple that anyone can answer them, and Mr. Poe and the Baudelaire orphans instantly knew the answer to the question, "Does the handwriting on the shopping list match the handwriting on the note?" The answer was yes. When Aunt Josephine had written vinegar on the shopping list, she had curved the tips of the V into tiny spirals, the same spirals that decorated the tips of the V in violet on the note. When she had written cucumbers on the shopping list, the C's were slightly squiggly, like earthworms, and the same earthworms appeared in the words cold and Captain Sham on the note. When Aunt Josephine had written limes on the shopping list, the I was dotted with an oval rather than a circle, just as it was in My Life Will Be at Its End. There was no doubt that Aunt Josephine had written on both the pieces of paper that Mr. Poe and the Baudelaires were examining.
"I don't think there's any doubt that Aunt Josephine wrote on both these pieces of paper," Mr. Poe said.
"But," Violet began.
"There are no buts about it," Mr. Poe said. "Look at the curvy V's. Look at the squiggly C's. Look at the oval dots over the I's. I'm no graphologist, but I can certainly tell that these were written by the same person."
"You're right," Klaus said miserably. "I know that Captain Sham is behind this somehow, but Aunt Josephine definitely wrote this note."
"And that," Mr. Poe said, "makes it a legal document."
"Does that mean we have to live with Captain Sham?" Violet asked, her heart sinking.
"I'm afraid so," Mr. Poe replied. "Someone's last will and testament is an official statement of the wishes of the deceased. You were placed in Aunt Josephine's care, so she had the right to assign you a new caretaker before she leaped out the window. It is very shocking, certainly, but it is entirely legal.
We won't go live with him, Klaus said fiercely. He's the worst person on Earth.
He'll do something terrible, I know it, Violet said. All he's after is the Baudelaire fortune.
Gind! Sunny shrieked, which meant something like, please don't make us live with this evil man.
I know you don't like this Captain Sham person, Mr. Poe said, but there's not much I can do about it. I'm afraid the law says that that's where you'll go.
We'll run away, Klaus said.
You will do nothing of the kind, Mr. Poe said sternly. Your parents entrusted me to see that you would be cared for properly. You want to honor your parents' wishes, don't you?
Well, yes, Violet said, but...
Then please don't make a fuss, Mr. Poe said. Think of what your poor mother and father would say if they knew you were threatening to run away from your guardian.
The Baudelaire parents, of course, would have been horrified to learn that their children were to be in the care of Captain Sham. But before the children could say this to Mr. Poe, he had moved on to other matters.
Now, I think the easiest thing to do would be to meet with Captain Sham and go over some details. Where is his business card? I'll phone him now.
On the table in the dining room, Klaus said glumly, and Mr. Poe left the kitchen to make the call. The Baudelaires looked at Aunt Josephine's shopping list and the suicide note. I just can't believe it, Violet said. I was sure we were on the right track with the forgery idea. Me too, Klaus said. Captain Sham has done something here. I know he has, but he's been even sneakier than usual. We'd better be smarter than usual then, Violet replied, because we've got to convince Mr. Poe before it's too late.
Well, Mr. Poe said he had to go over some details, Klaus said. Perhaps that will take a long time. I got a hold of Captain Sham, Mr. Poe said, coming back into the kitchen. He was shocked to hear of Aunt Josephine's death, but overjoyed at the prospect of raising you children. We're meeting him in a half hour for lunch at a restaurant in town, and after lunch we'll go over the details of your adoption. By tonight you should be staying in his house. I'm sure you're relieved that this can be sorted out so quickly.
Violet and Sunny stared at Mr. Poe, too dismayed to speak. Klaus was silent too, but he was staring hard at something else. He was staring at Aunt Josephine's note. His eyes were focused in concentration behind his glasses as he stared and stared at it without blinking. Mr. Poe took his white handkerchief out of his pocket and coughed into it at great length and with great gusto, a word which here means, in a way which produced a great deal of phlegm. But none of the Baudelaires said a word.
Well, Mr. Poe said finally, I will call for a taxicab. There's no use walking down that enormous hill. You children comb your hair and put your coats on. It's very windy out and it's getting cold. I think a storm might be approaching.
Mr. Poe left to make his phone call, and the Baudelaires trudged to their room. Rather than comb their hair, however, Sunny and Violet immediately turned to Klaus. What? Violet asked him.
What? Klaus answered.
Don't give me that what, Violet answered. You've figured something out. That's what.
I know you have. You were rereading Aunt Josephine's note for the umpteenth time, but you had an expression as if you had just figured something out. Now, what is it?
I'm not sure, Klaus said, looking over the note one more time. I might have begun figuring something out, something that could help us. But I need more time.
But we don't have any time, Violet cried. We're going to have lunch with Captain Sham right now.
Then we're going to have to make some more time, somehow, Klaus said determinedly. Come on, children, Mr. Poe called from the hallway. The cab will be here any minute. Get your coats and let's go.
Violet sighed, but went to the closet and took out all three Baudelaire coats. She handed Klaus his coat and buttoned Sunny into her coat as she talked to her brother.
How can we make more time? Violet asked.
You're the inventor, Klaus answered, buttoning his coat.
But you can't invent things like time, Violet said. You can invent things like automatic popcorn poppers. You can invent things like steam-powered window washers. But you can't invent more time.
Violet was so certain she couldn't invent more time that she didn't even put her hair up in a ribbon to keep it out of her eyes. She merely gave Klaus a look of frustration and confusion and started to put on her coat. But as she did up the buttons, she realized she didn't even need to put her hair up in a ribbon, because the answer was right there with her.